Next item, regular agenda, 167.
Amend contract with HDR Engineering, Inc. for additional construction support services for the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Renewable Natural Gas Facility, project number E10033, for $229,000. And they also requested.
Yeah, 168, if you could read that as well, it's related.
Mm-hmm. 168, amend contract with McClure & Sons, Inc. for additional compensation to complete additional contract work due to design modifications and change conditions for the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Renewable Natural Gas Facility, project number E10033, for $4,452,012.
Colleagues, around Earth Day 3 years ago, City Council authorized an innovative project to step up our climate challenge. The goal is a triple win: climate, clean air, and revenue. The Bureau of Environmental Services calls it the Renewable Natural Gas Project. Our late good friend, Commissioner Fish, based on his son's suggestion, gave it a more memorable name, Poop to Power. This project will create clean local renewable fuel out of processing Portlanders' sewage. It'll be used to displace dirty diesel in commercial vehicles. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has determined that the RNG project will be the city's largest climate infrastructure project, reducing carbon pollution by 21,000 tons each and every year. Construction is close to the finish line, with testing expected this spring and startup this summer. Here today with a presentation on the contract amendments are Paul Sudo, the engineering manager, and Darren Wilson, the engineering supervisor, both with Environmental Services. And I want to reiterate that this was a great passion and interest of Commissioner Fish and his team, and I'm sorry he's not here today to share this great success.
He's here.
With all of us. And he is. Yeah. Thank you. He is. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Hardesty, and Commissioner Udaly. For the record, I'm Paul Sudo, engineering manager with BES.
Good afternoon, and I'm Darren Wilson, engineering supervisor with BES.
Thank you.
You can move that mic anywhere to make it more comfortable.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that, Commissioner. Thank you.
So we're here today to ask for approval to increase the budgets of two contracts associated with the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant's renewable natural gas facility that is currently under construction. So Mayor Wheeler mentioned the triple win. This is the slide we had prepared about 3 years ago at that Earth Day event with the goal to produce renewable natural gas as a vehicle fuel from the solids or poop. This presentation may contain the word poop a few more times, so just, I know it's around, yeah, it's around lunchtime, so I just want to caution folks on that.
So it never gets old.
It never
gets old.
All right.
Just jockey enough to keep laughing. Yeah.
So the main things are reducing greenhouse gas emissions, so about 21,000 tons of climate-changing emissions per year. Adding revenue for ratepayers with this investment as well by selling it as a vehicle fuel, and also providing clean air benefits. So one thing I want to highlight on this slide is this 154 garbage trucks a year, that's just to provide a scale of how much fuel we're actually producing or able to produce at the plant. And as for illustration purposes, we don't have a specific plan to have 154 garbage trucks, so I just want to clarify that. And I also want to mention from the staff standpoint, too, that we recognize this was a very important project for the late Commissioner Fish, and we are sad that he's not here with us to see us at the finish line. But it was really heartwarming to know that this was one of his favorite projects at BES. And so with that, so here he is at the media event for one of the elements of the project that's already been completed, and that's the compressed natural gas fueling station at Columbia Boulevard. And now I'll get back to the project. So just kind of reiterate some of the stuff that was discussed about almost three years ago. So our main goals for moving forward with this project were based on maximizing the methane recovery of the biogas that's produced at the plant as wastewater solids are treated, and maximizing value to ratepayers. So from a business sense, and optimizing our return on investment, looking at a balance of risk and reward, and also to make sure we're aligning with the city's policies in terms of the climate action plan in particular, but also other ones that have been developed. So now kind of this is the fun part for me to talk more about how the poop turns into gas here. So the gas is essentially from is produced in the anaerobic digesters at the wastewater treatment plant. Those are large tanks where the poop in the sewage goes and gets separated out, and then we have an optimized process there that's heated to produce the biogas. So tiny bacteria convert these solids or poop to methane gas, carbon dioxide, and some other trace compounds. So that's where this project has stepped in, is to take that biogas, add facilities to increase the quality of that biogas so we can put it into the pipeline and distribute it for vehicle use as an end use. So I want to highlight here that renewable natural gas is not a fossil fuel. All right, so this slide here shows our current biogas utilization at Columbia Boulevard. And this is before the RNG facility comes online later this year. So there's some points to highlight here. We're sending about 23% to our waste gas burners, which are essentially our flares. So that's what kind of initiated this project, was that we were still flaring gas, even though we were beneficially using with our cogeneration facility, which is producing power and heat for process use, our process boilers, which were focused on heat use, and then also selling a portion of the gas to a local industry down the road from us. So the other thing I want to highlight here is, as this project's developed, we've gone from focusing on that 23% flared as a vehicle fuel to all of the gas. So we're actually going to be focusing on taking all the gas on average produced at Columbia Boulevard, putting it into pipeline quality, because we looked at from a triple bottom line benefit, that's the best value for us. So this aerial slash cartoon graphic illustrates how poop to power is being built. If you follow the kind of the cartoony part of it up top, it shows the biogas in the large tanks, the digesters. So just to give you an idea of how big they are, they're about over 2 million gallons of solids in each one of those. And we have six main ones there on the left-hand side. And they produce a tremendous amount of gas, about 1.6 million cubic feet a day at the plant. And the green, then we ship to the new facility being built, shown in green here. That's the biogas upgrading or the RNG facility. And that's been kind of, hopefully you can appreciate here too how tight the site is. And we basically shoehorned it into that corner of the site. I got some other photos later to highlight how challenging that's been. And then we produce natural gas. We get it into the main distribution line with Northwest Natural. And then once it's in the line, that gives us the options to use it at off-site fueling stations with other partners, and then also utilize the facility that's been built on site at Columbia Boulevard for use of the RNG as a fuel. So here I just want to highlight some of the alignments with the Climate Action Plan and the city's other energy goals. So in 2015, there was a Climate Action Plan update to set a new objective to reduce carbon emissions by 40% by the year 2030, and then further that to 80% by 2050. So this is a project that helps actually get results to help move us there. And there's also another objective associated with that by the year 2030 to reduce life cycle carbon emissions of transportation fuels in particular by 20%. And then finally, the RNG project adds an additional renewable fuel that can help meet the 100% renewable resolution goal for transportation sector fuels, where the goal is 100% by the year 2050. And this photo here just shows a mystery person fueling a CNG vehicle at the Columbia Boulevard treatment plant. All right. So I'll just touch on a couple more on the clean air side with the triple win. This helps the city meet goals for clean air by providing renewable clean fuel option to help improve air quality and as an alternative fuel for clean fleet requirements. And then the other thing I want to highlight here is that the project also furthers resiliency goals for the city by producing the fuel locally and therefore reducing the reliance on transportation of fuels into our region during a significant event, for example, like a seismic event. All right, so now kind of tying that all together with the triple bottom line benefits, the win for the climate, revenue, and clean air. And so I'm kind of restating some of this stuff, but I just want to give another equivalency for that 21,000 tons annually for climate benefits. With our colleagues over at Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, I got an analogy that that is the equivalent of about 10 years of tree growth in Forest Park sequestering carbon. So just to appreciate from a climate benefit there. And then the revenue, we've got a plan for selling it as a vehicle fuel through federal and state programs, and we're expecting revenue in the range of $3 to $8 million per year on the project. The current market, we're around $5 or $6 million a year if we hit go really soon for it. But it's market-based, so it can fluctuate. And then finally, on the clean air benefits, by displacing the dirty diesel fuel and reducing public health risks.
So could you go back, please, to that map? What is the projected revenue based on?
The projected revenue is based on sales of the gas that's being upgraded and produced as an RNG. So it's based on essentially three funding areas, so to speak. So the first one is selling the fuel as a commodity to Northwest Natural, so they don't have to import natural gas from other parts of the country and other regions, so that helps them. And then we partnered with a company called Clean Energy Renewable Fuels that will essentially market our gas and be responsible for the sales, and they're the ones that will basically leverage the federal program, the renewable fuel standard that's administered by the US EPA, where programs like this, we have a fuel that generates credits essentially, that essentially oil producing manufacturers and importers, they basically have an incentive to either produce their own renewable fuels or purchase renewable fuels. So there's definitely a demand for renewable fuels. So that's at the federal level. Do you have a follow-up on that?
Go ahead.
And then at the state level, in both Oregon and California, there's a low-carbon fuel standard. So that doesn't necessarily focus on renewable fuels. It's low-carbon fuels, and most renewable fuels tend to be low-carbon fuels. So we've got revenue from those state programs as well. And that's what I want to highlight there is that's an either-or. So we're either going to be going to California or Oregon. So we have revenue from selling the base commodity to Northwest Natural, the federal program, and then either Oregon or California. So that's what that number that I mentioned, that about five, once you add all that up. So right now, I think the quick check I did beforehand, that commodity is roughly a little bit more than $1 million a year. And right now, the federal and the state programs are about the same in terms of revenue for us, so about $2.5 million each, which gets us close to $6 million. So I do want to highlight the California market is more mature than the Oregon one, mm-hmm. But the Oregon market's catching up. So our goal in the long run is to make sure the fuel is sold locally. But we want to maximize the revenue for the ratepayers and get this facility paid for.
Not to mention wanting to have Oregon be more green as soon as we possibly can be, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Are you negotiating a agreement on what we would sell this natural gas to Northwest Natural for? Or is there a standard whereby there's a market rate of gas?
Exactly.
That
so... For the non-renewable, since Northwest Natural isn't getting the renewable rights to this, since we're selling it into the program, so there is a market price. It's called, the acronym is WACOG, the weighted average cost of gas, something like that.
Okay.
And it's prescribed essentially. It's a market-based one.
I know I'm getting into the details, but I thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'm nerdy like that.
Yeah.
I have to have I'd have to know. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, so this is just kind of a status check, again, on what we're doing. So it's an aerial to plant. So phase one, the CNG facility there on the lower, kind of the lower center left there, is complete. The contracts that we're talking about today are focused on the production facility there. On the kind of the right-hand side, the bigger circle, where the RNG facility is being built. And then in parallel with that, Northwest Natural is constructing a receipt facility or interconnection facility, which is basically a gatekeeping facility for monitoring the RNG that we produce so that it meets the standards of their system in place. So that's going on in parallel with our construction project. But they're building that. However, we're paying for it as part of the project.
Oh, we're paying for it?
Yeah.
Why are we paying for it? They're building it, but we're paying for it now?
Because we need it for a project to connect, but it's actually helping us that they're building it because they're kind of experts in building those types of facilities. Yeah. So it actually is a good partnership for us.
Okay. Good question.
Yeah. Okay, so now to the contracts. That was kind of good background on the project. So let me catch up here too. The contracts requested for amendments today are for the design engineer, HDR, and for the construction contractor, McLaurin Sons Incorporated. HDR was chosen as a primary engineering consultant back in 2013, so we've been working on this for a while now. We've been planning it even prior to that. So, you know, from a design standpoint and construction, it's been a seven-year journey for us. And then McLaurin Sons was selected as a prime contractor back in 2017, shortly after the Earth Day event in April. So just want to highlight here on the photo on the right-hand side, this is the, I don't know if you can see it, but there's two pipelines there along that fence line, a big gray one and a small yellow one. So those are the pipelines. And the bigger one is the biogas that's going to the facility that's in the back of the picture, those tall towers. And so that's where the gas is cleaned up, and then it comes back along that corridor in that smaller pipe because the CO2's been removed, and it's also under higher pressure, and then it connects to Northwest Natural System. So what I'd like to appreciate here is, again, the tight site constraints for building this. All right, so why do we need more money, right? That's why we're here. So essentially, the main categories have been, there's been equipment changes that we learned about once we got into construction, efficiency gains for methane recovery, the site constraints that I mentioned, and safety. So I'll talk more about those, but I wanted to kind of highlight the broader buckets first. So many equipment details became apparent once construction was underway and suppliers were submitting proposed equipment for review. This led to changes to integrate the equipment into operations for the plant and to provide consistency for maintenance staff to improve troubleshooting. A design addition was also made during construction to further improve the methane recovery efficiency, which also improved our revenue forecasts. And that's the equipment there you see on the top right-hand side. Basically, it's a vape called a pressure swing absorption is the kind of the technical term for it. And then back to the site constraints, those were a result of installing the facility on the existing plant with that much footprint available to squeeze this in, and then also integrating that small footprint facility into the existing plant. And that's what, you know, a little more of what we see there is on the lower, on the bottom picture there is how tight with the fence line, and there's a hillside behind us, and then a roadway right there already. So not a lot of room to work with.
Well, I'm sorry, you didn't know about...
You didn't know the pipes before that that you had that limited space when you started this project?
We did, but it was once we started getting the actual equipment. So typically you design around certain equipment, and then it's a low-bid environment. So we bid, and then the contractors submit types of equipment during construction. And then once we select that equipment, we typically have to make some field adjustments. And in this case, we just didn't have a lot of room there to make those adjustments.
But this will be the seventh adjustment that we've made to this contract. So I just know that that's the context under which I will be asking questions.
Got it. And I just want to clarify. So
which one are we on? 188?
I'm sorry.
You were just talking about the HDR engineering,
yeah.
Right? That one? Okay.
Yeah, the HDR, so yes, the HDR one has had seven, yes. The McLaurin Sons one, this would be the first adjustment on it. Then just, so I want to...
This will be seven.
On HDRs?
Yes.
Yes, HDRs. Yeah. I just want to clarify on the construction contractor's side, this is the first one. So the changes to improve safety were also identified during construction. BES had voluntarily held a study that identified safety improvement opportunities. The study assessed the hazard potential of operation outside the design intention or the malfunction of individual items of equipment and their consequential effects on the facility as a whole. So that also led to some changes to help us build a better, safer facility. Okay, so where are we right now? So we are in the final stages of construction, so we are kind of nearing the home stretch. I do want to highlight that we haven't spent all of the money for the construction contractor McLaurin Sons. We're at about 8.7 of the total million spent. And then we also need HDR is the design consultant that's helping with the designing the changes that we need to optimize the system. So we still need their support to get the project done. And this photo on the right here is one of those pieces of equipment that took a while to get on site and get in there, and that's the regenerative thermal oxidizer. So this just gives you an idea of the scale of the equipment that we've been working with. Okay, so the objectives of the amendment are to authorize funds to the construction contractor, McLaurin Sons, for design modifications and change conditions that were not known during project design, and also to authorize funds to the design consultant, HDR, to continue processing project documents and aid in design and construction support services. And then we also need to extend the contract time until June 30th of 2020, when we've also got some contingency in there through September 30th of 2020. So just more on the photos here. So the top photo is the booster compressor. In the center there is a piece of equipment where you can see piping come from the digesters there on the kind of left-hand side, the large tank. That silver piping is the biogas coming from the digesters. And then the compressor basically pressurizes it, and then it gets pumped down to the RNG facility for treatment. And then in the lower picture there, that's basically all of the RNG facility right there at the towers for doing the primary polishing and treating. And then the second stage stuff is in that background area there. And then that large white building, essentially, that modular building, there's a lot more equipment in that as well. So hopefully at some point soon, there'll be some tours out there for folks to come and actually see us making renewable natural gas.
Yeah, make sure the poop is actually all taken care of.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't need to see that part.
That part. Okay. That stuff we can't seem to give away for some reason. We try on our tours, but. So the McLaurin Sons contract amendment is for a total of up to $4,452,012. And we have a moderate level of confidence rating there. The HDR contract amendment is for $229,000 with a high level of confidence rating there. And we've extended the construction schedule by 186 days.
Yeah. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. So I want to just stop you right there. So with the request for 168, this is a 146% increase over what the original estimate was, and today you still only have a moderate level of confidence that you won't be back asking us for more. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Why?
And we typically use moderate because we're still under construction, and there could be something that happens that we're not aware of, since we are close, but there could be something that surprises us. So that's why we tend to be conservative and say moderate.
Well, I appreciate you saying moderate, but I'm concerned that if we add an additional $4 million and you only have a moderate degree of comfort, that is the right number. My concern is that you'll be back in 6 months wanting additional resources or wanting authorization for additional resources. So how do we know that we're on the right track and it's not going to end up costing us another $10 million bucks.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if you can.
Yeah, so, Commissioner, I think that's a really good question. The biggest issue that we have right now with our confidence level.
Could you move that mic down?
Oh, sorry.
The biggest
issue we have with our confidence level is timing. Mm. As we get into startup, we've already usually spent the majority of the money on making the equipment changes, the piping changes, electrical changes. But when we get into the startup and testing, that's when we want to find out if all these various computers and sensors are going to actually play together nicely. Mm. And so it's possible that we'll end up having more time requirement. So the moderate level of cost is more related to the contractor's general conditions for their staff to be on site longer to help us make sure the system operates properly.
So this time, this is what this request is?
This request is anticipating both types of costs, equipment costs, as well as some of the extra time for the contractor to be on site. And that's going to get us through that June period. If perhaps we have to go into September or possibly even later because we have other issues that we don't know yet, that's where we're telling you there's a moderate level. We would potentially have to reimburse the contractor for their staff time if we haven't done a good job programming those computers to work together.
And how are we going to make sure that you do that, that you program those computers to make sure that we are good to go?
Yeah, so I'll tell you that we have incredible staff at the treatment plant, so we're doing the programming ourselves to make sure that our staff are familiar with the program, they can troubleshoot. We're extremely involved during startup and testing, and so we're pretty confident of that. Right. But again, because this is different equipment than we normally use, right, our staff are used to treatment plant type equipment.
Right, right.
These types of equipments are more traditionally the oil and gas production type of facilities, and we're just not experts in that.
Right. And is there a level of training of current staff as we move into this new system that needs to take place?
Absolutely. So one of the things we've done is we just had some staff fly out to Wisconsin to visit one of the manufacturers and actually go through all the factory startup and testing. Mm-hmm. And so again, we're developing relationships with the suppliers and the contractors. Our staff are becoming familiar. We have many conference calls that are recurring every week to make sure we're all tracking the issues and staying on top of things.
So I would just ask you, I appreciate that that explanation, and it makes sense to me based on the fact that this is new and innovative and not something that we've tried before. But my request from you would be that if you get, it's like this runs through June of this year, right? If you get to, say, the 1st of April and you find out we got some sticky points here, I would advise you to reach out to our offices early, right? Because I would hate for you to come back and say, we're out of money and we need you to give us another $4 million, right? Because I would rather know ahead of time and know why we are doing what we're doing so that we can be supportive. This is an innovative program. I just want to make sure that the city benefits as greatly as Northwest Natural will benefit from this program. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Carl, did you have something else?
I had a few more, but I can do this close. So this is the kind of the financial projection slide, the total cost of the program, and just highlighting here, we're still on a track to pay back this facility in about 5 years. With the additional costs, we slipped from about 4 years to 5 years on the current market. So in the overall scheme of the payback, we're still within what we estimated in the beginning of 4 to 8 years. So I just want to mention that. And that includes the total program costs. So this is just really the closing side on our recommendations to authorize the execution of the HDR contract for $229,000 and also the McClure & Sons contract for $4,452,012. And close with the triple win again.
Positive.
Commissioner
I just remembered I had one more question.
Sure.
So how diverse is the workforce that's doing this project?
Yeah, I think we got some numbers here to explain that. One thing I want to highlight about this project, hopefully the picture is illustrated. There's a lot of equipment on this project. So out of that $9 million or so of the original contract, I think something like $6 million or so was equipment. and the rest was labor. So
can I always own that equipment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
our equipment?
It's our equipment, yeah. So to answer your question, on the overall contract amount, let's say the DMWESB participation for forecasting for where we're at is about 9.17%, 9.2% roughly. But if we take out the equipment and look at purely labor, it's about 23%.
Is where when you come back, I'd love to have that broken down, disaggregated so that, right, how many women, right?
I think we have that.
I'm not sure if we can get that from procurement, but we can certainly ask them.
Oh, you can, because I asked them.
Oh, good.
You can.
Okay.
you mean in terms of if it's a,
well,
what category?
Yeah. It would be very helpful knowing what the breakdown is for that large number. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Public testimony on this item, Carla.
Yes, we have three people signed up.
Very good. Name for the record, 3 minutes each, please.
Shedrick J. Wilkins, Lightning Super Karma, and Maggie.
I think
why don't we take, before we get to public testimony, let's take a 3-minute recess.
Okay.